Good morning, radio friends. Once again, we have the glorious privilege of coming your way in the name of Jesus Christ by the word of truth and through the Holy Spirit by means of radio, and we hope and trust the thoughts today from God's word will be enlightening to each of us and give us grace and peace in the Lord whereby we may serve the Lord in a more wonderful way. This program is sponsored by the Church of God of Resurrection Hope, a Church of God of Abrahamic faith located in the North Carolina on the Walter Arney Road. We hold services each Sunday, the Sunday School 9:30, morning worship service 10:30. Evening message is 7 o'clock. If you're not here at any time, you're cordially invited to attend and worship with us. Also, if you're in the Gastonia-Belmont area, you're invited to attend and worship at the Gastonia Church of God of Abrahamic Faith, located 2100 Alton Road in Gastonia, near the Wesley Price Farm. The services in Gastonia are held each Sunday, the Sunday school at 10 o'clock, and the morning worship at 11. Day by day, we hear much about the soul of man. What is the soul? In the dictionary, we find a definition. It's an entity which is regarded as being the immortal spiritual part of the person and having no physical or material reality. It is credited with the functioning of the thinking and the will, hence determining all behavior. Now, the dictionary is man-made, but the Bible is the inspired word of God. Whether we take the Bible or the dictionary is dependent upon our desire to know the truth. And to take the authority of man above God is something that we don't want to do. So today we will study the word soul from the Old Testament and see what we can find. One, is the soul an entity? Two, is it immortal? Three, does it have no physical or material reality? And four, does it do all the thinking? Well, let's see if the soul is an entity. We'll turn to the word of God and let us go to the creation of man in Genesis 2 and 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, what became a living soul? It's very simple. First, God formed man of the dust of the ground. If we had seen this form made of the dust of the ground which God had made, we would have said, this is man. But does the Bible anywhere ever tell us that God put the soul into the body? Does the Bible teach that the soul is an entity? Let's look again. What is the only thing that God put into the man? And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now, that's all you can find anywhere that God ever put into the man he created. The only entity in man is the breath of life, but the breath of life could not comply with the definition given by man for the soul, for the breath is of material reality, for it makes the lungs become larger when we inhale and shrink in size as we exhale. We find that wherever we put air, which we breathe, it can occupy room, and that we cannot put all air into one bottle, for air is material. The breath does not have any intelligence or any will. The air is the thing which God breathed into man's nostrils, and man became a living soul. Now, what became the living soul? Let's look at it. It was not the breath of man. Man became a living soul. That was the form that God made in the dust of the ground. The word soul is translated from the word nephesh, which word from the Hebrew is translated in many different ways, such as beast, body, creature, dead body, heart, life, and person, self. It's translated soul 428 times now. The word in the Greek is translated soul. It's translated life 40 times, and soul 58 times. The Hebrew word is translated life 119 times, and soul 458. Therefore, from New Testament, we find 1 Corinthians 15:45, the first Adam was made a living soul. Now, what was made a living soul? Not the breath of the first Adam, but the first Adam himself. Therefore, from both Old and New Testament, we have two witnesses of how the soul came into being. Old Testament, man became a living soul. When the breath of life was administered, the breath is nowhere called the living soul, but the man formed of the dust of the ground. This was the first Adam. The New Testament declares the first Adam was made a living soul. So it was a material being formed of the dust of the ground which was made the living soul. God took no soul from somewhere and entered it into man, but only the breath of life which gave man he had formed the power to live and breathe. And as he lived, this physical material man became a living soul. Thus, the soul is not an entity, but is the product of the breath of life being breathed into a man's nostrils, thereby making man become a living being, a living person, a living soul. We find in Genesis 46:18 that there are the sons of Zilpah, whom Laban gave to Leah his daughters, and these she bare unto Jacob, even 16 souls. The Bible is emphatic that souls are born. The father begets them, the mother bears them, Genesis 46:26, we find that souls which came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins, besides Jacob's sons' wives, all the souls were 86, and the sons of Joseph which were born to him in Egypt were 2 souls. We see that these souls came out of Jacob's loins. We find they were born, and souls, instead of souls being entities, they are begotten by coming forth out of the father's loins and being born by the mother. We therefore declare that man in his definition is wrong and that the Bible is correct. Secondly, the question is the soul immortal? Immortal means not subject to death, cannot die. Job in Job 1:15 said, "So that my soul chooses strangling and death rather than my life." How could a soul choose strangling and death if it couldn't die? Job 33:22. "Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyer." Job 33:30, speaking of God bringing back his soul from the pit of the grave to be enlightened with the light of the living. Prophecy of Jesus Christ, David in Psalms 16:10 said, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." That's Sheol, the word in the Hebrew. That's the word is translated grave 31 times and hell 31 times. What would a soul be doing in Sheol or the grave if it were immortal? Even the soul of Christ was in Sheol when it was dead. Psalms 22:29. The Bible says none can keep alive his own soul. If the soul could not die, he would not have to keep alive his own soul. Needless for the Bible to say this, if the soul can keep alive and can never be anything but alive. "Why are the eyes of the Lord upon them that fear him?" Psalms 33:19. Why, to deliver their soul from death. Any common sense at all will reveal that God could not deliver a soul from death if it could not die. Further study shows that he delivers a soul from death that he might keep them alive in famine. Psalms 40:14. "Let them be ashamed and confounded together, seek after my soul to destroy it." Anything immortal could not be destroyed. Let us remember the definition from the dictionary said the soul was regarded to be immortal, not that it is, just regarded. The Bible has the answer if we only believe it. Psalm 49:15, "God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave." If it were immortal, it would never come under the power of the grave. David praised God in Psalm 56:13, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death." God could not deliver a soul from death unless it could die. Psalm 63:9, "But those that seek my soul to destroy it." You cannot destroy something immortal. Psalms, again, "O bless our God, which holdeth our soul in life." How could God hold our soul in life if we couldn't die to begin with? We wouldn't need any power to hold it in life. Psalm 78:50, "God made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death." If the soul were immortal, this thought would be useless in the Bible. Psalms 89:48, "What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the power of the grave?" If anything comes under the power of the grave, it's mortal, not immortal. Psalm 116:8, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death and mine eyes from tears." David, Psalm 119:175, "Praise to God, let my soul live and it shall praise thee." If his soul was immortal and could never die, it'd be useless to pray such a prayer. Isaiah 53:10, "Christ's soul was made an offering for sin." You could not offer anything that could not die. In Isaiah 53:12, it declares that Christ poured out his soul unto death. Ezekiel 13:18, the Bible speaks of saving souls alive that should not live and slaying the souls that ought to live and ought not to die. Ezekiel 18:4 and also 18:20 says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Thus we find the soul is subject to death and therefore mortal. So man is wrong in his regarding that the soul is immortal. 1 Timothy 6:16 tells us that the Lord of Lords, who only hath immortality. Now, if he only has immortality, nobody else has it. Number 3, does a soul have any physical or material reality? Leviticus 5:1. If a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing and is a witness, whether he has seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. Thus we find from the Bible that a soul can sin and hear and be a witness, can see and know and utter. Can you imagine anything without material reality being a witness? What part of the immaterial would hear or what part would see? Why is it a blind man with a soul inside of him, as it is claimed, cannot see with the eyes of the immortal soul when his natural eyes go out? It is because he has no such entity. Verse 2, if a soul touch any unclean thing, he shall be unclean and guilty. How could immaterial touch an unclean thing such as the carcass of a beast? Verse 4, if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips. A soul has lips to do evil or to do good, whatever it be that a man or a soul, as it's used here interchangeably, shall pronounce. Is the soul material? Let's see. Leviticus 17:15, every soul that eateth that which died of itself, or that which is torn with beasts, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes and bathe himself until evening. But if he wash not his clothes nor bathe his flesh, he shall bear his iniquity. Thus we find a soul can eat that which died of itself, even a beast that is torn. We find that a soul can both wash himself and his clothes and bathe his flesh in water. If a soul bathe not his flesh, he shall bear his iniquity. We can see at once that the soul is a material reality according to the Bible. David, in praying to God about his enemies, prayed for the deliverance of his soul. He said, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rendering it into pieces. Now, if the soul is immaterial and you tore that immaterial into pieces, you would have lots of pieces of immaterial. But if you had pieces of anything, it is inconsistent to say that it's immaterial. Tied into this is both proof that the soul is material, mortal, and can be destroyed. Joshua 10:28, Joshua took and smote with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying all the souls. Joshua 11:11, Joshua smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. Utterly destroying souls, smiting them with the edge of the sword. How could you smite with the edge of the sword something that is immaterial? Going into the New Testament, we find Matthew 10:28 gives us something to think about. Fear not them which kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Now, immortal soulists who advocate it and who go by the dictionaries of the Bible think at last they have a scripture which supports the normal definition of the soul, or the nominal definition of the soul. But let's listen to the next verse. He says, but rather fear him who is able, now get this, to destroy both body and soul in hell. Now that's Gehenna hell. It is not Sheol, nor Hades, nor Tartarus. It comes from the word that will be the hell that will come when the judgment is finished. You see, the soul can be destroyed. So he says, rather fear him who's able to destroy both body and soul in hell, Gehenna hell. And if it were immortal, it could never be destroyed. I've heard a great preacher say one time that God made something which he could not destroy when he made the soul. That just isn't true. God can destroy both body and soul in Gehenna hell. That's the hell of fire. It'll come after the judgment. God can destroy both body and soul, get that now, in Gehenna, which he will do if that soul sins, for the wages of sin is death. Not everlasting life somewhere in torture. James in the New Testament said, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. From death. D-E-A-T-H. Death. Now, we get out here and try to convert people. What do we try to convert them for? Well, so they'll go to heaven, someone said. Someone said, well, we'll convert them so their soul won't go to hell. Well, now, we convert them so that they might be saved from death, the second death. Revelation 16:3, we're told that every living soul in the sea died. Now, if a soul could not die, we couldn't have such a print and such a thought put into our Bible. The truth is that the soul is the man as which God created. Now, let's go back again and listen to what the Bible says. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And what became a living soul? Now, let's look at it, listen to it. Man. The form made of the dust of the ground became the living soul. And that's the truth about it. He is a living soul as long as he breathes a breath of life. And the only thing to leave the man when he dies is the breath of life. Then the man becomes a dead soul. Next week, does the soul do all the thinking? Other words are translated from Nephesh also we'll discuss. May the Lord bless you, our humble prayer.